Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Ann Louise Gittleman. The author is Radical Metabolism, and we'll be back with your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we are back with Ann Louise Gittleman, author of Radical Metabolism. Ann, you are high on hemp. Let me rephrase that.
Oh, that's good.
Let me rephrase that. Well, what do you think of hemp?
I'm high on hemp. Hemp hooray, yes. And George, the reason is it's a good omega-6, and I think we need these unadulterated functional fats like omega-6s, which are crucial for strong cell membranes. So when I do blood tests, and I've seen this in some of the literature, and we test people for their omegas, all the different kinds of fats they could be deficient in, the good fats, the omega-6s come up very high in terms of this very primary parent oil. So hemp is good for the skin. It's a real superstar when it comes to the skin, good for the brick and mortar of your cells, your tissues, and your organs. And it also feeds the mitochondria, which are those cellular energy engines.
And you recommend it in the oil form?
I love the oil form, yeah. So it's 1 to 2 tablespoons a day. You can put it in your salads as a salad dressing. You can put it topically on your skin. It will really heal the skin. It'll make it very moisture-rich. And I also like it to drizzle onto food. Some people just put it in their smoothies every morning.
Where do you get it?
In the health food store.
Okay. Grocery stores don't have it yet?
They will.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And most states are legalizing this?
Well, there's nothing in there that would be illegal, not in the hemp itself.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting to know that. We're going to take your calls this hour with Ann Louise Gittleman. Next hour, we're talking about deathbed confessions, and hopefully we'll keep you away from the deathbed as we talk about your health.
Yeah.
You've talked about the heavy metals before. How do you get them out of your system?
Oh, well, that's a good question. You have to start reducing your exposure. And one of the ways is to go into your kitchen and make sure you're not cooking in anything that could be toxic. One of those elements is aluminum foil in cookware, especially aluminum. It's a big one.
Really? Okay. What about Teflon?
That's not good either.
Oh, geez.
That's toxic to the system. That, I think, has been talked about. And then, of course, it's the cast iron that I was so interested in when I did all the research for Radical Metabolism. I had been cooking in cast iron for the longest time, and both my husband and I have very high ferritin levels, and that's not something good, as we discussed earlier. So we've got to get rid of the cast iron and get something that's enameled covered. And there are lots of good substitutions on the market.
How about copper?
Well, that's not so great either, as nice as it looks. It's needed for the body, you know, in small amounts, but in excess it can really cause problems with the thyroid, with weight gain, hyperactivity, anxiety, depression, and all kinds of other heavy metal problems.
Well, what do you recommend people use for pots and pans?
I like glass. I like...
stainless steel?
I like a good stainless steel, yeah, that's a high-grade stainless steel. And I also like anything that's enamel-covered. Enamel-covered iron would be perfect.
So there's a rule here, too, with this. If you go cheap with these pots and pans, you're going to get stuck, aren't you?
You're going to get sick, yes.
Interesting take on that. Okay, let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California, to get us started. Hey, Tom.
Thank you for taking my call, George. And
thank you.
From one frog to another, I have to apologize for my voice. I think it's the change of season from summer to fall.
It could be the mold or something.
Yeah. And it's always a pleasure to hear your analysis and wisdom.
Thank you.
My question, Ann, concerns caloric restriction, periodic fasting, you know, whether it's short-term fasting, like maybe eating 1 or 2 meals a day with over a, say, 6-hour period, and then the other 18 hours you just have liquids like water, or whether it's like periodic fasting, you know, maybe every couple of days, 2 or 3 days, in which it gives your internal organs and glands a rest. For example, the liver gallbladder, it allows that to reset, so to speak, if you will. And I was wondering if caloric restriction, periodic fasting, is that a good strategy along with eating good foods, good fats, etc. And by the way, I love Swedish bitters.
Good. Well, you know that bitter is better, and it's good for everything, including thinning out the bile and helping your digestion. I'm gonna take a kind of a middle of the road approach with this. In the book, I write about intermittent fasting because there is a lot of very good research to suggest that it actually resets the entire system. So I think if it works for you, it's fine. For those of us with really low blood sugar, I couldn't do it, quite frankly, and that's just me. But for other people, you know, having that window 8 to 12 hours, I think, is perfectly fine. And some people feel very, very, very good on that type of a program. And they don't just reset the system. I mean, it's an anti-aging methodology as well, as I'm sure you're aware. So I say if it works for you, go for it. I think it can be very helpful for many people.
I tend to diet that way, Ann, where I just eat a couple times a day and try to do as light as I can, and drink a lot of liquids, and really the supplements are almost like my dinner.
Yeah, well, and that's giving everything a rest, and I think we're on such overload that we don't need as much food as we think we do. So for many people, George, that works just fine.
Let's go to Palmer, Alaska. Tammy's with us, west of the Rockies. Hello, Tammy.
Hello.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Well, in 97, I had my gallbladder taken out.
Okay.
And in 2001, my husband had to take me to the emergency room, and we found out I had a serious thyroid issue. And right now, I'm 25 milligrams from the top out, which is 300 milligrams of levothyroxine. Mm. And I want to get this straightened out.
Right down your alley, Ann.
Right down my alley. Well, pick up radical metabolism for the diet portion, Tammy. That's number one. Number two, what I would suggest that you do is get some sort of bile support, maybe 100, 150 milligrams of a bile, ox bile acid that you can get in the health food store. There's supplements that I also mentioned in the book, but that's pretty darn critical, so that whenever you eat something with fat, you need to have the bile there that'll break it down. So that's number one. And then number two, you have to add the bitters to your program, the bitters that we've been talking about throughout, whether that's coffee, whether that's lemon, dandelion root, grapefruit, lemon peel. There are lots of herbs and spices you can use. So you have to kind of get into a more bitter, balanced diet. That would be number two. And then number three, you have to be able to support your thyroid maybe a little more with some minerals. That's where selenium comes into play. And another one out there, which is a nutritional supplement that they're finding is very helpful for thyroid issues, called myo-inositol. And there's a lot of information on the web.
What is that called? What is that called again?
It's called myo-inositol. It's a brand new one, George.
Okay.
Myo-inositol. It's about 600 milligrams. It's been found to be very helpful for individuals with issues with their thyroid.
Tammy, do you have a follow-up question for her?
I do. While you're on levothyroxine, we were told not to take any type of grapefruit because it could be fatal.
Fatal?
So then you don't need to take grapefruit. You can take orange or orange peel.
Oh, okay.
So there are tons of swaps in the book. So if grapefruit is not the one because that affects medications and so forth, then you can do a lot of other things that are bitter. I have lists of fruits and vegetables and herbs and spices, you name it. If it's bitter, it's in the book, including that Angostura bitter that we like for our cocktail beverages.
Good luck, Tammy. What is so wrong with grapefruit?
Well, there's some chemicals in there that impact the way medication is metabolized.
Really?
Yeah, and so a lot of people can't take grapefruit or grapefruit juice.
Good old grapefruit. James in Beaumont, Texas, east of the Rockies. Good morning, James.
Good morning. I heard you mention before I, you know, make my statement, I heard you mention about bile. But anyway, to liquefy and increase bile pool size, taurine would do that, and also glycine. And
very good. Yeah.
And choline, lecithin.
Yes. It sounds like you read the book or the script to the book. Yeah, you've got it down.
He knows what he's talking about.
Now, what I really called about was it was about you were saying about the omega sixes.
Yep.
I didn't know if you had it backwards or if you intended to say it that way. But it does produce the arachidonic acid. And it's commonly said that omega-6 should be in a ratio to omega-3, 4 to 1. But they say that we get about 25 to 1 already.
Yes. And can I answer that?
Yeah, go ahead, Ann.
Okay, because you're right on. Everything you're saying, I totally agree with you. But I'm talking about the pure, unadulterated omega-6s that are very deficient in the diet, not the commercial omega-6s that people are getting with all the corn oil that they're taking, maybe the sunflower oil, canola oil. So this is a very different type of omega-6. And you're right about the ratio. It should be 4 to 1 in favor of omega-6. But again, these are the good omega-6s that don't produce the arachidonic acid.
James, where did you get all your homework on this? You're very good at this.
Oh, thank you.
Have you been studying this for a long time?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know I was still online.
Oh, yeah, you're still with us.
Well, since I was about 13, sort of like the lady there, and mine was because I started out with acne, and I was trying to find a way to cure it, and I couldn't come up with anything, so I started thinking that I was going to try to help my mom when she gets older. And now that she's older and she don't want to listen to nothing that I say.
Stubborn, huh?
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, James.
You know, George, James mentioned something really important that I want to talk about a little bit. And he talked about choline as being an important nutrient that breaks down bile. It is also an important B-type vitamin that is good for fatty liver. And we see an epidemic of this non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And the research suggests that 500 milligrams of choline three times a day for at least 6 weeks to about 2 months will defat a fatty liver. So it's a very, very important nutrient.
Isn't it amazing how supplements help the body? I mean, it's just truly remarkable.
Very much so, especially if you got the right supplement.
This planet, our human body, it's all tied together, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Next up, we've got George in Corpus Christi, Texas with us. Hey, George, good morning.
Hi, Mr. Norrie, and get well. Please get that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fine. We need you.
I feel great. Just got to get the voice back to where it used to be.
Yeah. You'll be good. You'll be all right. I just want to ask your guest real quick, because I know you got other callers. I'm a type 2 diabetic, and what are the pros and cons relating to this bitters? And, I mean, how does that relate to my condition? And thank you. I'll take my phone. I'll take the question offline.
They're not contraindicated by any means. So they'd be very important to help kickstart your metabolism into overdrive. It'll help reboot your gallbladder, help heal your gut, get the digestive juices flowing. And they can also help people wean off of sweets and sweet cravings, which can also lead to type 2 diabetes. So bitters would be very important for you. I mean, bitters like watercress and arugula and mustard greens and maybe a little ginger and even coffee, because the right kind of coffee is a bitter. So there's no contraindication for a type 2 diabetic.
If you bought a little bottle of the bitters that they use in drinks, would that be okay?
Yeah, the Angostura bitters, absolutely.
It would, a teaspoon?
It's very medicinal.
I bet it tastes bitter.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jan in Brooklyn. Hey, Jan, go ahead.
Hi.
Oh, God, you sound like me.
I'm sensitive, and I pick up energies, and I found that the vitamins that doctors give, their vitamins, the energy is very good from those vitamins. But if you get them from the health food store, only maybe 1 out of 3 bottles are good. Plus, I go to a nutritionist, and I find that it's very important to be tested to find out which vitamins are good for the person.
Well, now you bring up something interesting. I think that's probably worthwhile, Ann, don't you, to do an annual blood test with your doctor?
Well, see what's in your system. Blood tests, and I think that's important. We do tissue mineral analysis where you take the hair and you can actually figure out which vitamins and minerals you need, or a hormone test. I think it is important. I think you have to individualize. That's true. But I think we all need very general vitamins and minerals that you may not have to individualize. Everybody needs more vitamin D, George. That's not You know, that's something that's not negotiable.
I love blood chemistry results, you know, because they tell you where you're at, what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong, and you can go after it. You can attack any problem you have.
Test and measure. That's the name of the game. Absolutely.
Yep. And it's they're very accurate tests, too, aren't they?
Most of them for vitamins and minerals are, and some of these other ones that we find, they're not a lot of blood tests. I'm looking in my mind's eye right now for minerals. That's where the hair comes into play because it's considered a tissue. So you can see the residues and the mineral ratios in a tissue mineral analysis from the hair.
Tim in Braidwood, Illinois is with us. First-time caller for Tim. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
Good to have you with us.
Hi, and hi, Mary.
Anne Louise is her name.
Or Anne, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's okay. Thank you.
Better you than me, Tim. Believe me.
I'm excited to be on, and this is it's so relevant that my wife and I are listening to you tonight. We've been listening to you for a long time. My wife here is hypothyroid. Okay. Now, we have just gone to an endocrinologist near us, and she's run a battery of tests, and she is taking level thyroxine. Now, we've been doing some research, and I was wondering what your take is on, you know, everything's coming back normal. Her T4, the T3, I'm wondering about the reverse T3 because she's under a lot of stress. She's had quite a few people pass in her family recently.
That'll do it.
We've had problems, you know, lack of work, trying to save the house. It was in foreclosure. You know, there's a lot of big things going on, and she's under a lot of stress. And it's my understanding that when you're under stress for a long period of time, you get an increased cortisol level, and that blocks the reverse. It raises the reverse T3, which blocks the T3 that's been converted by the T4 from doing its job. And she's having trouble. She eats like a bird, but she's having trouble losing weight. She's also developed alopecia, which I don't know, some of your callers may not know, but, you know, she's going bald in some spots on her scalp. So I'm wondering what we could do.
Okay, does she have her gallbladder?
Yes, she does have her gallbladder.
Okay. There are a couple of things, and I'm going to just give you what I think at this point. Number one, in terms of the blood levels of T4 and T3, blood levels that are considered normal of the normal ranges, sometimes they're not optimally healthy. So if you somehow get in touch with me from AnneLouise.com and send me an email, I can tell you what is optimally healthy in terms of T4 and T3, because they're not the normal levels. That's number one. Number two, my suggestion is that you can also supplement with selenium to make sure that there's that breakdown of T4 and T3, and you have to give your wife some sort of adaptogen, some sort of supplement, whether it's magnesium or ashwagandha, to help her control her stress levels. You know, stress is a part of life, but at a certain age and stage, when you're constantly hit, it becomes like a perfect storm. So you need help in being able to moderate that, and the adaptogenic herb ashwagandha is one of the very best that can help with that regard.
Okay, Anne, thank you for that. And make sure you get a hold of her, Tim, through her website, which we have linked up at coasttocoastam.com. More of your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back with our final segment with Anne Louise Gittleman, and we're talking about her book, Radical Metabolism. We'll get to your calls as well. And you are not a favorite fan of green teas. How come?
Fluoride levels, because a lot of teas are fluoride bioaccumulators, and people don't realize that. And I have this sneaky feeling that with all the teas, the green teas we're doing, the white teas, the black teas, that's where all the thyroid slowdown is coming from, because fluoride impacts the thyroid.
I wonder if we should start asking people who have thyroid issues if they drink a lot of tea.
That's a good point. I think we should.
Interesting. Interesting indeed. What does a gallbladder look like, and how big is it?
It's a pear-shaped organ, and it's actually a storage tank for the bile. So it optimizes bioflow so we can digest fats properly, especially high-fat meals. And did you know that it's the most common elective surgery today?
Yes.
It's all over the place. And so I think that we have to keep our gallbladders, because when we don't have them, we don't have the timed release of bile, which is so important to digest fat or absorb the fat-soluble nutrients. And what, if you aren't digesting the fats, they get stored in your body, George.
What goes wrong with the gallbladder for them to want to remove it?
The bile becomes very sludgy. It becomes congested. It becomes thick, very congested, because you're not eating the right nutrients. You don't have enough lecithin, enough bitters, and that keeps it free-flowing and very thinned out.
Let's go to Rick in New York. Welcome to the program, Rick.
Yeah. Hey, George. Thanks for having Anne Marie. I'm sorry,
sure
Anne Marie's on.
She's great.
And listen, I have hypothyroidism, and recently I developed they think it's osteoarthritis, but it's arthritis, and it's getting worse to the point when I brush my teeth, the hip, the femur snaps in and out of the pelvis joint.
Oh, jeez.
So it's getting really bad. They want to do a hip replacement, but I fight things and deal with things naturally. Now, I have had hypothyroidism in the past, but this connection to the gallbladder that you mentioned interests me. Also, did you know that artichoke leaf extract can also help normalize bile flow?
Yes, it's another great bitter. You got it. Very good. Yes, yeah. Indeed. It's mentioned.
So
in the
I'm
book.
Wondering the connection between a sluggish thyroid, a gallbladder, and arthritis developing.
You know, there's in the book, I talk about that connection in terms of people that lose their gallbladder or have suboptimal bile flow have a greater increase in certain types of arthritic conditions, osteoarthritis. And what that direct connection is, I cannot tell you, but I've seen that there's a causative effect.
Right.
So you have to do everything you can to make sure that your bile is flowing freely and that you get gallbladder support wherever you can. And that's where the bitter herbs, the artichoke leaf is very important, the choline inositol, as well as taurine. There are lots of things.
Yeah, I use taurine. I could step up the taurine. I only take it once a day, but I could take it three times a day.
Do you take choline?
What's that?
Choline?
Choline, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
500 milligrams three times a day, very important. And then shoring up your thyroid.
Boy, that's
and you
a lot of choline.
The stuff
I take is, it's a choline caps, 250 milligrams. Take it once a day.
All right, so you need 500 three times a day.
Three times a day, wow. That's a lot. Even though what he takes is better than nothing, right?
Yeah, but we've got an issue going on with the thyroid, so we want to see if there's that connection with the bile situation. Yeah, so we've got to up the ante just a little bit.
Doesn't the liver produce bile, too?
Yeah, the liver does produce bile, and the gallbladder stores it. That's very good. That's very true.
Let's go next to Brenda in Indiana. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, George. Get well.
I will do it.
Hi, Anne Louise. I have a question. You've been talking about bitters. I am a type 2 diabetic. Can you have the arugula, the watercress? Did you say mustard greens, too?
Yeah.
Do you want them raw? Do you want them cooked? How should we do
that? No, let's have them cooked. We want them cooked.
Okay. And then for lemon, can I just chop up a lemon and just eat it like that?
Yes, especially the peel.
The peel, really?
The peel is where all the nutrition is, yeah.
The lemon rind.
The lemon rind. They used to call it the pith, I think, years ago. But, yeah, very definitely. Very helpful for you.
Very good. My husband, when we first got married, he used to sit and eat lemons, and I used to think he was sick. but now I like them, so that's good to know. Thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brenda. Do you realize how many people you help, Ann?
Well, it's nice that you have a show where we can talk to all these people in terms of all this, because this is a big problem. This hypothyroidism is absolutely rampant. I never saw it years ago, George, not with the numbers I see now.
I did a show with a doctor on the thyroid. We had phone calls that would not stop. It's that prevalent with people who have thyroid issues.
Very prevalent, and especially the autoimmune issues that are coming out, too, now.
Is cancer of the thyroid prevalent a lot?
It is one of the fastest-growing cancers we have, believe it or not. So, yes, so something is going on with our metabolism and all the toxicity that's affecting the thyroid.
What causes that? What's the culprit?
You know, I think it's an overload of toxins, whether it's infectious agents, whether it's heavy metals, chemicals, the fluorides, the bromides, the chlorine in the water. All of these things, I think, just contribute, and it becomes, as I said earlier, like a perfect storm. I think you need three livers, three thyroids, three gallbladders in this day and age.
Our old friend Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Hello, Barry.
Hello there, George. I hope I didn't give you my flu.
No, I don't have the flu. I'm not sick. It's just that I had a little tinge of laryngitis that hit first time in 16 years, ever.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, get well, buddy. We sure need you. Fascinating talking last night with your guest about the power grid going down, George. It's and he are right. Morse code is somewhat of an answer. If we, at least we're getting in touch with one another.
You've got it.
But, and I was just going to clarify a little bit for the listeners. The marijuana extracts, obviously you can have the THC, the tetrahydrocannabinol extract, which is the real good one. But I think you were talking about
hemp.
The CDB oil, which is...
No, it isn't. It isn't. It's the THC-free hemp seed oil.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the CDB oil. It doesn't have any THC in it. And I buy it from a drugstore, even here in South Carolina, which is pretty far behind the times. But it's an extract that you put under your tongue, and it just kind of calms you down or whatever, supposedly, but it doesn't work on me.
Nothing works on you, Barry.
Alcohol, but I'll quit that one. For good. But anyway, I just wanted to say something about that. And gosh knows, you are one smart cookie. Keep it up. You're just a terrific nutritionist when it comes to that subject. So go, girl, go.
Well, thank you so much.
And Tom has a text or tweet for you, Ann. What do you have for us, Tom?
Sure do, Ann. This is from Angel in Los Angeles. She says, please ask your guest what she thinks of the drink kombucha for gut health.
Kombucha. Do you know what kombucha is?
Oh, that is a loaded question, Tom, but a really good one. Kombucha is usually made, it's a fermented drink, number one, and it's made from tea, which is a high bioaccumulator of fluoride. I'm not a believer. I'm probably one of the only nutritionists out there, but I'm a radical nutritionist that doesn't believe in kombucha.
Is that a brand name or is that something?
No, it's a very popular fermented beverage that they make from tea, and I think you can make it from other sources, but I'm not a believer. I've seen a lot of detrimental issues with these wild yeast that come from it, so I say get your probiotics elsewhere.
Okay, you're not a fan of that then?
No.
Interesting take. What about amino acids for your system? How important are they?
I think for some people they're very important, especially if you've had surgery or you're recovering from some sort of issue. You need the amino acids, and very good for muscle building as well.
Barbara in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Barb.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask your guest, when she says obese, what's her definition of obese? And also, what is body mass index and how is it measured?
It's easy to measure that, but go ahead, Ann.
Yeah, you know, I use the traditional charts in terms of that, and so I see people that are at least 50 pounds overweight. I consider that obese.
Has to do with your height and your weight, doesn't it?
Height and weight and waist measurements, yes, mm-hmm. Hip to waist ratio and so forth. So that's basically what we say. But whether you're obese or overweight, I think everybody could stand to do a little radical cleanse here and there and get more bitters in their diet, get clear on their right proteins, get the right kind of fats, and move a little bit more. I think that's what we all need as a nation.
How much weight is overweight when you're obese?
It's at least 50 pounds.
50 pounds. So if you're 10 pounds overweight, you're not considered obese?
No, not at all.
Okay, interesting take. Chris in Louisville, Kentucky's with us. Hi, Chris.
Hey, George. Hey, Ann. How are y'all tonight?
Okay, thank you.
Good.
Well, I love your show, George, because I listen to it when I'm working factory work on third shift.
Well, thank you.
When I go through. But, Miss Ann, I have two friends and their brother and sister, and they both have had gallbladders removed. And they both have had thyroid issues.
Hmm.
The female is drinking diatomaceous earth. She mixes it with juice.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
It's I don't know why she's taking that specifically for these issues. It's a cleanser, very high in silica, very good to get rid of parasites, quite honestly. It's an anti-parasitic. It's a great dewormer. So I think it's good. Whether it's going to help these issues, I'm not so certain about.
What goes first, the gallbladder or the thyroid?
It can go either way, but typically we're seeing the gallbladder, and then we see the thyroid issues.
It follows right after that?
About 2 to 3 months, according to all the integrative docs that I've been speaking to. Yeah, so that's a big connection, again, that nobody's made. We make it in radical metabolism.
And do they give natural things for the thyroid, too, or is it all medicine?
Oh, yeah, they're natural. There's a T3, T4 natural hormones that you can take for the thyroid. People take all kinds of herbs and so forth as well. Yeah, a lot of people like the natural armor-type thyroid.
You haven't mentioned the pituitary gland. How about that?
Well, it's not my favorite. I love the thyroid.
Oh, okay.
That's another show for another time.
The pituitary gland. Let's go to Harry in Port Huron, Michigan. Hi, Harry. Go ahead.
Hey, George, and thank you so much. And I've got a friend over 300 pounds, and he walks miles a day and runs and everything else, and he can eat eggs and fish and all the good, you know, good kinds of things, and he can't lose weight at all. He cannot. And the only thing that he did lose some weight was eat peanut butter and bread, and he could lose a bunch of weight. But he says, Harry, I don't want to eat that for the rest of my life. And they won't give him a referral to see an endocrine or anybody like that. I think it's a medical thing. I think it's what you're talking about.
There's a metabolic issue going on. You know, but he can order his own blood tests on request to test and then see what his thyroid is doing.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, that's what I would do. I would order a complete thyroid or as many thyroid values as you can from request to test. I think it goes through LabCorp. And I would do a metabolic panel as well to see where the glucose is. And also ferritin, because that's a real issue that's coming up. So a basic, I guess it's called a metabolic panel, as well as ferritin and the thyroid panel. That would help him tremendously.
And what do you think of the gastric bypass operation? Is it worth it for people?
No. No, I don't think much.
They kind of staple your stomach or something like that?
Yeah, I don't think we have to resort to those kind of methods just yet.
Some people have gotten that, though, right?
Oh, they have, and they do well, and some people regain their weight. Yeah, I mean, it's very individual, but I think if we can go the dietary route and we know that we're doing what's right for our bodies, that's the answer.
What do you think of fasting and a cleanse?
Oh, I'm in favor of it for certain people. I think it can be helpful. I write about intermittent fasting, and there's a cleanse in the book, the 4-day intensive cleanse. I love soups. I love watercress soup for my fast, as well as certain vegetable juices with a little bit of fruit so it's not too high in sugar.
Kathy in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, first-time caller. Hey, Kath, go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering about some of the contradictions. When you have the doc on from criticalhealthnews.com,
mm-hmm.
He says no oils, and he has said that aluminum is good for you. And I also think he said that we shouldn't drink coffee.
No. He's a booster in coffee.
Okay, but he says aluminum was okay. But
he mentioned aluminum, and he hates oils. He hates
right.
all kinds of oils.
And where do you get the hair sample tested?
Okay, so where do we go first, George?
Let's start with the oils, I guess.
Yeah, the oils.
What she's talking about is a doctor who comes on from criticalhealthnews.com who is opposed to all kinds of oils. Olive oil, hates coconut oil.
You know, to each his own. I mean, you know, and God bless them. I find that oils are the fuel of life. I think oils are very important to nourish your hair, your skin, your nails, as well as your thyroid and your gallbladder. So I differ with a good doctor there. That's number one. Number two, in terms of tissue mineral analysis, it's something that my office offers at AnnLouise.com. You can get in touch with us or any good nutritionist.
What he really is opposed to, too, is using it to cook, heating it up. He hates that.
Well, certain oils can be heated. I mean, you can cook with ghee. It has a very high smoke point. And macadamia nut oil, perfectly legal to cook with, has a very high smoke point. Most other oils, you may be correct with. You're certainly not going to heat any omega-3s and omega-6s. So, I mean, there's truth on both sides.
Next up, let's go to Dan in Panama City, Florida. Welcome to the program. Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you, George. And my mother, she's coming up 80 years old for over 30 years now. She has what she calls panic attacks. She's lost half her stomach to ulcers.
It's horrible.
She is on thyroid medication. She has had a couple other issues. I know she doesn't have a gallbladder, and no doctor can figure out anything. She says it feels like her body's just coming apart.
Well, they probably prescribe these anti-anxiety medications.
Oh, they're horrible. They're horrible.
We're almost out of time here, Ann. Can he email you and you can get back to him?
Yes, I can help you. Can I give an email out over
Yep, please. Go ahead.
So it's AnnLouise@AnnLouise.com.
AnnLouise@AnnLouise.com.
That's no it? E on the end. Yeah, that
okay.
would be great.
And they can find that through your website that we have linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, Deathbed Confessions. Stand by.